A savage, dangerous woman, many said. So truth was savage, too. That was why the words poured out in 55 books that encompass short stories, novels, poetry, lectures and plays. She spoke for all Egypt's women as they struggled in silent subordination, shouting, "I insist on it," until sometimes she got through. One of those voices belonged to Firdaus, a woman at point zero, awaiting death for killing just one of the men who had abused her. Another was her own smothered, terrified voice when, at six, she had been taken from her warm bed, held in an iron grasp on the icy bathroom tiles by the village midwife, who stank of sweat, henna and iodine, and slashed with a fiery razor between her thighs, as if she was a sheep being butchered for Eid. Against that razor, part of a merciless campaign to paralyze girls' capacity to think and understand, she now had her pen. It could be just as sharp. So could a scalpel. She had no wish to be a doctor, but did so well at school that it became inevitable. As a girl, she was lucky to be properly educated at all when her place was in the kitchen among the onions. The only praise she ever received was when she learned to light the kerosene stove. Girls, her grandmother told her, were a blight. A boy was worth 15 times as much. Yet in the dissection room at medical school, where she had gone on a scholarship, she saw how equally frail men's and women's bodies were under her probing blade. Since that was so, why were they so unequal everywhere else? Why, as a doctor back in Kafatala, did she have to spend nights at the bedside of child brides who had been preemptively deflowered for their husbands by the coarse, unwashed nails of a midwife and were still bleeding?